Chapter 84. It had already been a long day by the time Jesse sat across the table from Detective Lieutenant Mary Weld at the Lobster Claw. Before leaving the station, he'd filled Dylan Taylor, Healy, and Molly in on what he had planned. He asked Molly to fill in the other two members of the shadow investigation on how things had progressed and what needed to get done. Weld ordered a beer, Jesse a lime in a tall glass of club soda. Weld twisted up her lips and shook her head at that.
"I heard you were a drinker,"
Jesse said, past tense.
"I'm not keen on seafood, Chief. So, if we're not here to drink, what are we doing here?"
"I wanted to have a conversation." She was shaking her head again.
"Up to right now, I gave you a lot of credit. You haven't stuck your nose into my investigation, and you haven't bellyached too loud about me going public with the results. Oh, I know you and your people have been sniffing around the edges of things, but I expected that. I would have thought less of you if you didn't want to stand up for one of your cops."
When the drinks came, Jesse asked the waitress not to return to the table until he signaled for her. Weld and Jesse clinked glasses. Jesse put his glass down. Weld sank half her beer.
"Okay, Stone, you want to talk? Then talk."
Officer Davis was returning fire, like she claimed she was. "You need to hear me out on this." Jesse told Weld about how Alicia had omitted the sense she was being followed, and the cat coming out of the shadows from her statement, because she was embarrassed. About how he had gone back to the scene, talked with Mary Glenn, and found the grappling hook's pit marks on the roof ledges. He explained about the demonstration Molly, Dylan, and he had done for Lundquist's benefit. Weld took it in, and Jesse could see she was thinking about what she would say next. She took another sip of her beer. "We took a statement from this Mary Glenn McCombs woman," she said. "But she said she hears critters on the roof all the time. Still, I admit we should have checked out the warehouse roof. I'll get a tech up there first thing. It gives Officer Davis's lawyer something to work with. But proving something could have happened doesn't mean it did happen. I hope you've got more than this, or it's going to be a one-beer conversation." Weld finished her beer.
"Fair enough," Jesse said, then waved to the waitress for another beer. "There's more."
Weld took a pull on her second beer when it arrived.
"I'm listening."
"You heard about the double homicide at the gas station outside of town?"
"I did."
"What if I told you that Gary Cummings Jr. was shooting at the stand right next to John Wilkes Vanderkamp the day Vanderkamp died?"
"Hell of a coincidence."
"Uh-huh. Hell of a coincidence that John Vanderkamp just happened to be shooting hours before he was killed, so that he was covered in GSR, and so that if he had fired at Officer Davis, there'd be no way for you to tell." Weld held up her beer. 3/4 of a glass left. "I'm sure your investigation uncovered the cross-burning we had in town at your old house. That's why Officer Davis claims she wanted to interrogate John Vanderkamp. John Vanderkamp purchased the kerosene for the cross-burning at the Cummings' station. The father notified us. Funny thing, though, the surveillance footage doesn't show Vanderkamp driving up to the pump. He walked to and from the pump. Odd, huh?
There's a point here somewhere, right, Stone?"
"There's more than a point. There's a conspiracy. Alicia was set up. You also know about the Wildford homicide in Swan Harbor." Weld nodded and sipped. "Wildford was staying at a bed and breakfast with a white man. The Patels, the people who bought my old house, are an interracial couple. And Officer Davis is involved with Dylan Taylor, a white man. None of this proves anything, Stone. If the coincidences piled up any higher, we could climb them to the top of the Hancock building. Just keep an open mind, because we're right on the verge of getting a confession on the Wildford homicide. When that breaks, it's all going to break. If it goes the way I think it's going, you and the DA might want to give yourselves some room to maneuver."
"So you're doing all this to save our careers, me and the DA, huh?"
"I'm doing what's right,"
And so who's at the center of this grand conspiracy? Weld laughed as she spoke. Leon Vanderkamp? You're going to sit there and tell me he sacrificed his son?
That's exactly what I'm telling you. And he used another one of his sons to do it.
Jesse slid Lee Harvey Vanderkamp's military file across the table to Weld.
Keep it. Study it. Then tell me I'm crazy. Okay, Stone, you make a good case. But here's where it falls apart. Conspiracies are usually meant to produce some desired effect. What's this got in Vanderkamp except a dead son and a cop who'll go to jail? This hasn't caused a race war or a revolution, and a week from now, no one outside of Swan Harbor or Paradise will remember it. It'll be just another cop shooting a civilian, and the details of race and the rest will be forgotten.
Then it hit Jesse like a slap from a hand he didn't see coming. He threw a 20 on the table and ran. As he did, he called back to Weld.
You're right, but you're wrong.